The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I got lazy. I didn't look. I clicked on view photos. And of course, you know, the Joker pops up, you've been busted. My fault, total.
She thinks I'm a nice guy. Women always think I'm nice, but women don't want nice. Why is nice bad? What kind of a sick society are we living in when nice is bad?
IT department, stop being nice. You're the cop of the station, right? I don't need a nice, warm, fuzzy email.
What's that smell? What are you wearing?
A little cologne.
Manly.
Monica wants me to wear it.
So why don't you say no?
I'm too nice. She wants me to take an IQ test.
It's because you're stupid enough to wear the cologne.
It's like I got pulled over by a cop for doing 10 over, and the cop is super, super nice, and he writes me a ticket for $250. Be the JAG. You're a JAG. You're a JAG department. What you do is a little nefarious. I'm a little sick of it.
Yeah, and he's going to find out I'm a moron. You know, people think I'm smart, but I'm not smart.
Who thinks you're smart?
I'm not going to break 100 on this thing.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it. She running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's
all of a sudden,
her man look like he wanna
fight. Mike McCarthy is all up in our business. We got the situation this weekend, Chew, with the Green Bay Packers needing Dallas to beat the Commanders in order to help them get the sixth seed instead of the seventh seed, that of course being the Green Bay Packers. And as I have said, I would much prefer a game against the Rams to a game against the Philadelphia Eagles. So people have been like, oh, Mike McCarthy, can Mike McCarthy do us a solid? Can Mike McCarthy get the Cowboys to win that game to help the Packers improve their seeding? And then there is this. Mike McCarthy is being mentioned, Chew, as a potential replacement for Matt Eberflus in the great city of Chicago. Your reaction when you hear that Mike McCarthy's name is being thrown out there as a potential head coach in the Windy City for the Bears?
I love Mike. I've known Mike for 30 years. I think he was a great coach. I think he's a good coach now. I don't think he would be a good – it'd be good for the Packers, but I don't think it'd be a good fit in Chicago. The problem with Chicago, did you guys see that who's the O coordinator in Detroit?
Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson won't take the job unless Poles is fired because Poles snubbed him last year. So say – Chicago's just dumb, and we kind of enjoy them being dumb, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Which
sure.
is fine, because hiring Mike McCarthy would be a dumb move.
Wait, would
they
be
need
dumb?
Someone young, innovative, energetic.
Yeah, none of those I things describe Mike McCarthy.
No, not anymore. I mean, you got to give Mike credit. He did win a Super Bowl. He was run out of town by our buddy. But
our
no,
buddy,
I just think that'd be a bad
our buddy,
Jen's buddy specifically.
Yeah, Jen's guy.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Gabe. To
yes.
the people, to the detractors of Mike McCarthy who say that, yes, he won a Super Bowl in Green Bay, but that was on the shoulders of Aaron Rodgers. You say
he helped build Aaron Rodgers. Like, do you guys remember Jeff Tedford and what he did in college? And what the way he taught his quarterbacks. Chewy, I know you know what I'm talking about.
I just,
yeah, sure.
The crappy, the dumb ear hole thing.
Yeah, I know the release.
You have the ball up by your ear hole instead of, you know. So he had to clean up Aaron Rodgers' mechanics, despite Rodgers not wanting to give him any credit.
And one of the
whatsoever.
Great stories, just drop this in there, one of the great stories out of 1265 guys is when Rodgers was asked about changing his mechanic, changing the way he carried the ball. He was like, I haven't changed. We have carried the ball. And you were like, we have eyeballs, sir. We can see your footage from college.
Turns out they didn't burn that footage. Like, it still exists. We can find footage from you playing a Cal. It wasn't that long ago.
I bet some of it is in that Enigma documentary. I bet some of it is in that mockumentary that is on Netflix right now. I bet you could see some of him carrying the ball way up there. That, to your point, Mike McCarthy was instrumental in changing and making him more efficient.
Yeah. I mean, Mike helped build up Aaron to what he became. And look, I mean, McCarthy was a really good coach. And he's still, I mean, in Dallas, 3 out of the 5 years he's been there, he's won 12 games. And again, you can then point to his postseason success, sure. But the Bears need to have that first step of, I think this would be a good hire for them. I really do. I think that he would be able to, I think he'd be able to get the most out of Caleb Williams. Now, would they have postseason success, too? I'm not sure. But He has had success where he's gone. And if you look at this Cowboys team, they haven't given up on Mike. And if Mike were to leave, it'd be on his own volition. He hired a different agent. He, a week or two ago, hired Don Yee, who famously is Tom Brady's agent.
I know Don Yee.
Yeah, so he taking a look at the writing on the wall, Chew, he might want out of Dallas. It might not be up to Jerry whether or not he brings him back, but additionally, I don't know if Mike would want to go from the dysfunction of Dallas to the dysfunction of the Chicago Bears.
Because we always talk about this, Chew. There's a finite number of these jobs, right? There's only 32 jobs out there. 32, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. I'm just doing the quick math in my head, and we know that there's no such thing as quick math when it comes to Jen, but I digress. There's only so many of these jobs out there. So there is a school of thought that says if you've got one, you don't release it unless you've got another one. I also think that the dysfunction of these two organizations, which is widely reported, on one hand, you have a meddling owner in Jerry Jones who is always going to think that he knows better than all of the people he has put in these positions of power, and that is always going to be a problem. On the other hand, what the bleep is going on in Chicago? Right? There are people who believe that as long as the McCaskies own the team, it will always be a dumpster fire. There are people who question the qualifications of Ryan Poles. There are people who question the qualifications of Kevin Warren. And that is 1, 2, 3 above you in the chain of command. At what point? And look, guys, rumors being what they are, there is talk that there are people who are staying far away from the Chicago Bears. I saw a report this morning, I believe it was in The Athletic, that Ben Johnson is actually kicking the tires on Jacksonville. Can you imagine, Chew, a day and age where head coaches are looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Chicago Bears and going, Jacksonville sounds nice. Jacksonville feels like a place where I could win.
Well, with all the openings, I mean, Trevor Lawrence didn't have a great year, but there's still talent there, and I'm surprised Doug couldn't get that out of him. But you know what's crazy? I was just doing, in my hours of show prep, I came across this, and you guys, is Caleb Williams having a better year than Jordan Love?
No. I mean, if you look at
the stats,
if you look at the raw statistics, sure. But if you also pay attention to the number of times they've had like 46 yards at halftime and then they're completely out of games and other teams check out and then he can rack up. Yeah, I know you're looking at numbers. I'm just telling you the reality of the situation that there have been a number of games where they're out of it by halftime because they have less than 50 yards of offense because he has struggled.
You don't think there's too much coddling of Jordan Love?
I mean, but what do you want to rip him for? I don't think that there's an
highest paid player in the league.
He's not.
Didn't make the Pro Bowl. Well, he was before. I'm just saying that. Are we giving him a pass, dude? When you're making $58 million a year, I expect you in the top five.
Dak Prescott is the top paid quarterback in the league, right?
Yes,
the top
one. He's hurt. Sure, but I've seen it from Dak. Dak was runner-up to the MVP last year.
But Jordan Love beat Dak head-to-head last year. And I know quarterbacks don't go up against quarterbacks, but like when those two teams met in the ring, the Packers are the ones that emerged.
Yeah,
you're only as good as your last game. You're only as good as your last game. And let me just ask you this question. If they get trucked by the Eagles, what are we going to say about this year?
If they get trucked? I think this is a better team than last year that just wouldn't. If they play the Eagles, I'm not going to predict them to win. But I think this is something that Jason has said all year long. It's a better team, more wins than a year ago, that doesn't get as far.
Well, but also I think you have to look at it from a progress standpoint, right? And getting rid of Joe Barry and replacing him with Jeff Hafley. And I think we all have said the eye test indicates to us that Hafley maybe doesn't have the talent that he needs to run his scheme. He's doing the best he can with what he has. So if you factor in another year of adding more players where he will likely have a say in that personnel, you're taking steps towards being a better defense, right? We have said they're a better run defense than they've been in a while. Pass, let's move on. Across the board, better defense than they have been in a while, I think.
I mean,
top 10 defense.
The two things that they've really improved on this year is against the run and the turnovers. Those are the two things that they've really, yes. You know, they've improved on defensively, and they're much better defense than a year ago.
Do we coddle players?
But so
you know,
okay,
you know, let me ask you this, Gabe. Speaking of coddling players, do you know where Rashawn Gary is ranked in sacks in the NFL?
Yeah, he said it
give
yesterday.
Me a
number. Yeah, he said it yesterday.
I think it's I can't remember. I wrote it down. I think it's T26.
T42.
And then he's T65 in tackles for a loss. Yeah.
What these players are judged by are sacks and tackles for loss.
Yes.
You know how many tackles for loss he had this year?
Right now, I believe he has 7 or 8.
8.
Yes.
Okay.
And well, that's T65.
I'm glad you bring that up because as I'm shuffling through my papers here, Jeff Hafley addressed yesterday Rashawn Gary being going to the Pro Bowl. Here's what Jeff Hafley had to say about Rashawn Gary being a Pro Bowler, too.
You know, I think the one thing when you talk about RG and everybody keeps looking at is probably, and you know, you're probably looking for the same thing, it's are the pass rush numbers there, right? I don't even know how many sacks he has, but that's probably the question. But that's not the entire game. I mean, we've played pretty good in the run, which we had to do. We have to play good run defense to play good defense in this league. At least I believe that you do. And I think he's a huge part of that. I think he's disruptive in the run game. He sets edges.
All right, Chewy, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Because you played with quite possibly the best defensive player ever. Ever.
Yes.
When people talk about Reggie White, and I know he was good at this, but they talk about his sacks, or do they talk about how good he was at setting edges? Even though Reggie was probably pretty good at setting edges.
Yeah, obviously sacks. Yeah, yes. Yes. Like, obviously sacks.
Like, I
but tackles, Gabe, but Gabe, tackles for losses are measures of the run game.
Yep.
That's what that is. That's the run game, and then the sacks are the pass game. I'm sure Hafley is blown away that Wicks didn't make the Pro Bowl because he's their best blocker. I'm sure he's blown away. This coddling of players is like, that's like when I go back to Frank giving it to Bob McGinn. I'm like, Frank, you sucked. Okay? Just own it.
Well, so going back
to how you get better.
Going back to the thing you said about Jordan Love, I guess I went into the contract that he signed knowing full well, and the big part of it really starts kicking in next year. He was the product of having to get paid when he got paid. And I didn't think his growth was done. I didn't think the second that he signed that contract, he was suddenly going to be a top five quarterback in the NFL. I think he has potential to continue to grow. I think he has shown that he's still obviously this year needed to grow. And I think going forward, yes, Chewy, he has to be better. But I wasn't expecting him because he signed that contract to be a top five guy this year. I don't think the Packers expected that either. Now, that is going to come because that cap charge is going to exist. That's going to be there. And when you get paid that type of money as a quarterback, you've got to start lifting people around you instead of having people like Josh Jacobs lift you up.
I don't understand, Shu, so please explain to me, what do you mean by coddling?
I mean, if you play like crap, tell them you play like crap. You know? And I know it's a different game than when I played, but you got to play better. You got to be. What were our expectations at the beginning of the season? What were they? Make it to the NFC Championship game and be a potential Super Bowl team. I don't see either of those happening.
Well, but I also think that sometimes it's just not your year. And I know this is going to sound crazy, but they are a really good team. but they happen to run up against a couple of buzzsaws that exist in their division, right? And I said this to Gabe recently, right? Ashton Jeanty is a great running back. You saw what he could do at Boise State. Ashton Jeanty, most years, based on being in conversations with Barry Bleepin' Sanders, is your Heisman winner. But he ran up against Travis Hunter, who is like the first player since Deion Sanders to be playing both ways, or Charles Woodson to be playing both ways, and therefore, ipso facto, just wasn't your year.
And he even elevated it past that because he played full-time both ways
exactly.
Versus just getting a sprinkling in of some, what those guys did.
Does that take away what Ashton Jeanty did? You know, like, so that's the only thing I keep going back to with the Packers. I am frustrated that this season didn't play out the way that you just said we predicted it would or we were hoping that it would. But I also tip my cap to the Minnesota Vikings, who have completely rebuilt, to the Lions, who were the dregs of the league not that long ago, winning zero games in a season and have figured out a way to be the top team in the NFC or a top team in the NFC, depending on how that game shakes out this weekend. Like, I don't think that the success of those two teams should be an indictment on the Packers. Do they have things that they can fix and that they need to focus on? Yes.
In order to catch those teams.
But I still think that they are a really good football team.
Yeah, but all of us didn't think the Minnesota Vikings were going to do diddly-poo this year.
Yeah, and that's...
Most teams thought they were going to finish last.
That was mostly based on Sam Darnold,
yeah,
wasn't it?
You know what, Jason? Or excuse me. You know what, Chewy? I'll give you this. Sam Darnold's had a better year than Jordan Love.
Yeah.
I'll give
and
you
Sam
that.
Darnold is a Pro Bowler. Since
yeah, I mean,
know, that
Sam,
means a lot.
Sam Darnold, I think, honestly,
so
Sam Darnold.
So what's going to be the excuse? What's the excuse at the end of the year? Can't be injuries. They were the healthiest team in the NFL.
Oh.
Or one of.
I mean, at the end of the day, Chew.
You're not going to tell me, huh?
At the end of the day, they're not good enough right
yeah.
now. They're just not good enough right
no,
now.
No, they're not.
That's the bottom line. They're not good enough right now. That's not to say
so
they can't get there.
What are you going to say next year?
We'll have to wait and see what, you know, a year from now, what it all looks like. I mean, I think
to
trust.
It just feels a little Chicago Bear-y because they're losing their best corner.
Yeah,
but
they've lost him for the most
that, right?
part. I mean, they haven't really had him for most of the year anyway. Yeah, there are things that they have
address. They have to address cornerback.
Yeah.
Have to address that position in the draft and in the
offseason. Do they address D-line, or does this Pro Bowl voting now roll it back like the Bucs did?
No, I mean, he knows. Like, I mean, he saw the game. We're going to go over the all-22, a couple of plays there, Chewy. He's going to see it. Like, he knows the pass rush isn't good enough.
But also, didn't Rashawn Gary say he was shocked? Wasn't there a line of, like, when he found out about it, he was
shocked? I love
shocked.
Honesty.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But, like, as a coach, Chew, you're not going to go up there and go, you know what, Rashawn didn't deserve this. Like, expecting that out of Halfley is that's not going to happen.
No, I know. I know
he's got to defend it somehow, and that's what he came up with.
It's a wild ride. It's a wild 17 minutes. I mean, I enjoyed it thoroughly, but got a little motion sickness.
No, I know, but I'm just... I'm a guy that moves forward. I'm always moving forward. I'm not looking back. And as of right now, I think their chances to win it all next year are the same as this year.
But you have no idea what they're going to do this offseason.
We have no idea.
You have no idea.
If Sam Darnold's even going to return to the Vikings.
Exactly.
Like that.
Or Aaron Rodgers goes to the Vikings. We have no idea.
You're trying to manifest stuff now, Mr. I'm looking forward.
I love stirring a pot. Who wants to just sit there and be boring?
No one.
You know what I mean?
No one likes to
I
be
know.
Boring.
Stir the pot. The pot needs to be... pot needs to be stirred.
Just to be clear, do you want Mike McCarthy in Chicago or not?
Yes, I do. I do. Because I think in the end it benefits the Packers.
Let's put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Mike McCarthy's name is being thrown out there as a potential candidate for the Chicago Bears. Or more accurately, maybe he is interested in the Chicago Bears opportunity. As a Packers fan, would you like to see Big Mike in Chicago leading a team in the division? How you answer that is going to really show us how you feel about Mike McCarthy's coaching acumen at this stage of the game. We got to get to Jason Wilde. Then we have Craig Karmazin. Are we doing a Rechew today? Is there
no,
a... Darn it! I was so looking forward to being a part of Rechew. It's all right. I'll get over it. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right after this.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that This guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Sorry about busting up the dude Friday. And, you know, coming to work. Jason, you have to deal with me today. Is Jason there?
He doesn't have to deal with you if he doesn't talk to you.
That's a very good point. I suppose he's in control. I'm the captain now, as they say. Jason?
Hi.
Hi! Good to hear from you. Good to chat with you. I want to start with Elton Jenkins this morning. Elton Jenkins putting out...
Having to talk to you, but I missed my... Apparently, I was muted, so I'm glad that you're here, Jennifer.
That's very nice of you to say.
Coming to work and ruining Dude Friday.
Ruining it, absolutely destroying it. Elton Jenkins, is this a Pro Bowl tweet? Poop getting weirder and weirder? Is this about him not making the Pro Bowl? What do you think?
I don't know. That's the smart thing about doing a tweet like that is that you can claim that it's, you know, just about... I don't know, the president or whatever it might be.
Could literally be about poop, right?
Yeah, like,
could
have looked down
Does
one day.
Does he have kids at home?
Looked down one day and been like, man, just getting weirder and weirder.
I feel like that's what we'd get if Chewy ever got on Twitter.
Bowel movement updates?
I didn't have corn.
Yeah, exactly.
Coffee worked.
I don't remember having corn.
Jason, Rashawn Gary, what the hell? I heard what Halfley said. Six sacks.
What the hell?
You see, he brought up the run game, but the measure for the run game is tackles for loss, and he had 8.
Yeah, and I think that includes sacks, right? That's not a separate statistic. Like,
oh, it isn't?
Count as tackle. No,
I think it's a different one, Jason, because if I look at Aiden Hutchinson's stats, he has 7.5 sacks, but only 7 tackles for a loss.
Okay. Because I know quarterback hits, they include sacks, which doesn't make sense to me either. At least, maybe not Pro Football Focus, but certainly in the box score that they hand out after the game. I was surprised, quite frankly. I think it was pretty clear Jeff Halfley was surprised. And even Rashawn Gary himself said he was surprised. So that tells you all you need to know. You voted for Pro Bowlers. You guys don't know anything more than the fans do, right? You guys don't really try very hard when it comes to being accurate in your balloting.
We did, Jason, but we only voted for guys that we went up against. So I'm not voting for an interior lineman most times. I'm not voting for corners. I'm voting for safeties, linebackers, DNs.
Right, but then it's one vote, isn't it? Like, you guys, at least that's how it was last time I talked to a player about the process. It's you guys submit as a team, then, your one ballot. And you utilize your expertise and others. And then, so then you don't vote. Let's say you didn't play Rashawn Gary. You wouldn't have voted for him?
I can't really remember. I agree, Jason. It was the one tight end, the tight end room that submitted one ballot. So it wasn't 4 different ballots.
But
we would look at stats. I mean, let's say we didn't play San Francisco and Lee Woodall had 16 sacks that year. Obviously, we're voting for him.
Okay. All right. Well, obviously, you have to vote for Rashawn Gary when he's got 6.5 sacks.
But didn't Gabe give a pretty good explanation for this yesterday, guys? Gabe, when you were talking about the 4-3 versus the 3-4?
I think, Jason, he ended up getting in because he's not an outside linebacker, and the way the Pro Bowl doesn't, it's not like they vote for edge guys, because you take a look at the edges up in Minnesota who have a bunch of sacks, they're in the Pro Bowl. I think that because he's a 4-3, if he was not a 4-3 defensive end, the Packers were still a 3-4, I don't think he gets in.
So who else would have been – no, you did – I agree with Jen. You did a good job of explaining that. Now, that said, what other defensive ends? So Joey Bosa or Nick Bosa.
He's in though, right?
Starter.
Yep. Yeah.
So yeah. Who are the alternates? Do we know if those guys got snubbed in favor of Rashawn Gary? Or
I mean, probably.
Worse?
I mean, probably, Jason. The guy's got 6.5 sacks. He's tied for 42nd in the league.
Well, he's top 50.
Yeah. You know, hey, when you're right, I guess, Jason.
Jason, the only reason this bothers me is because they're just going to roll the D-line back next year. They're just going to roll it back. They're going to roll it back.
I don't think Rashawn Gary being a Pro Bowler is the metric that Jeff Hafley is using to determine whether or not these players are good enough to be back. Like, I think everybody knows, too, that you have to upgrade it at that line and the defensive line. I don't know if it means upgrading Rashawn Gary, but I think they know that they have to devote assets to that position. And I don't think that him making the Pro Bowl goes, oh, you know what? Actually, we thought we did, but it turns out, I guess we're pretty good at that position. We don't have to. I just don't think that's going to affect it.
I would take the bet that they don't do a thing. I'll take that all day long.
In support of Jen, the Packers did not re-sign Jeff Saturday after he was elected to the Pro Bowl, after he'd been benched in favor of Evan Dietrich Smith. He wasn't even the starting center for the Packers, much less for the NFC. So here's the thing. Like, what is Jeff Hafley supposed to say?
Yeah.
Right? Like.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like, Jeff Hafley could get up there and say, I love Rashawn. You know, he's gone through kind of a tough transition with this shift from the 3-4 to the 4-3. I think he's playing better, but oh my God, are you kidding me? He doesn't belong in the Pro Bowl. I should be in the Pro Bowl before him. Like, he's not going to say that. So I think you guys are all right. Look, Rashawn Gary's not going anywhere, right? And
correct.
They certainly believe that he will evolve in this system and be more productive a year from now. Whether or not that's true, I'm not sure, but you could even tell by Hafley, like, he had a dance around the number, and he talked about how, you know, he's doing things that allow other guys to get sacks. Well, okay, there's still not that many other guys getting sacks either, unless you're playing Seattle or Tennessee. So I get it, but, you know, good for Rashawn, but I think the better story is the fact that two guys whose teams did not think they were valuable at the positions they played came in and were field-tilting players on each side of the ball in Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs. I mean, those guys, again, they're not Charles Woodson, they're not Reggie White, but they have both been transformative, and it's great to see them get what they deserve.
Jason, as far as the game on Sunday, it seems the Packers are kind of doing a half-and-half thing where, yeah, guys are going to play. If we're banged up, you're not going to. But even so, Josh Jacobs is saying he's not expecting a lot of carries. Is this a game where we potentially see guys like Malik Willis, Bo Melton, and guys like that playing in the second half?
Could be. In fairness to Josh Jacobs, some knucklehead asked him if he can handle 30 carries on Sunday. And his answer was, I don't think I'm going to get 30 carries. That said, yeah, look, I think what Matt LaFleur did a better job of explaining yesterday than he did on Wednesday is that what he regrets about 21 was that he told all the starters that they were only going to play a half against Detroit in Detroit. And they played poorly, right? And then Love went in and they kind of rallied. I think the final was 37-30. And he felt like playing that way left a bad taste in his mouth, and it should. Like they, and then what I said to LaFleur after that was, yeah, but you don't really think you lost to the 49ers because of the way you handled the finale. And he said, no, but, and then he went on to explain it. So I think he felt like his biggest mistake was telling those guys in advance, hey, you're going to play the first half. So he has not done that this time. He wanted them preparing as if they're going to play the entire game. And then when he pulls them, they will have not known when it was coming. So I think that was really his regret from that, because the last 2 years, they haven't been in a situation like this. The fact of the matter is that they did not play well, and he felt they were sloppy in Minnesota. So they need to play crisp football for their head coach to feel better about where they're at going into the postseason.
And get off
and
to
when Malik Willis takes over and Emmanuel Wilson takes over, et cetera, I think then it'll be, they don't really care what happens from there.
And get off to a fast start is what I was going to say, Jason. I had not seen it done cumulatively. I had obviously watched each of these games independently, but there was a list online of the halftime scores of the games for the Packers against the Vikings and the Lions this season. 28-7 week 4, 17-3 week 9, 17-7 week 14, 13-3 week 17. And it goes without saying that the Packers were on the low end of those scores each and every time. So 7 points, 3 points, 7 points, 3 points. I'd like to see the Packers go out there and score on every drive, preferably against this Bears team, although I know that's probably not likely, but as many drives as possible to show that they have the capability of starting fast, if for no other reason, so that they believe they can do that going into a postseason run.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think they did have games where they started fast, right? I mean, it was only against bad teams. And the good news is the Bears are a bad team. So they may start fast on Sunday. What the issue is I think they've been mathematically eliminated already, so they don't get to play the Bears in the first round of the playoffs. So can they get off to a fast start in Philadelphia if that's where they end up going? The numbers that you gave would indicate more likely no, they can't. And if they can, they give themselves a better chance, so they're not mounting these furious late comebacks that come up short every time.
But this could change, Jason, based on, let's say that Dallas is up by 14 at halftime. They might find themselves playing the whole game.
Right. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, Matt LaFleur wanted to make sure that he was preparing these guys for that possibility. I mean, you know, is that a likely scenario? I mean, Mike McCarthy, like, he's playing with guys that live in the neighboring Frisco area that live by the Star at this point, right? I mean, he's bringing guys that they've shut down a bunch of their best players. Like, I love the fact that his guys played for him to beat Tampa in primetime, but I don't think that they can replicate that. And Dan Quinn has been very clear that they are fighting to succeed. They want no part of having to play Philly in the first round, and I don't blame them. So, yes, it is certainly possible that by some act of God, Cooper Rush turns into Tom Brady, and they're in the third quarter up 14 on the Commanders, and Matt LaFleur is like, all right, let's go for the jugular here because we got a shot of avoiding the Eagles. But I don't think that's a likely scenario.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
All right, goodbye, dudes and dudettes. Have a good day. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every weekday here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We've got Craig Karmazin coming up next. Stick around.
Fellas, listen up. If you're getting ready to take that next step in life and propose, the Jewelry Center, of course, has to be the first stop. Whether it's naturally mined diamond, lab-grown diamonds, the Jewelry Center has options for it all. Maybe you don't exactly know what kind of ring that special someone wants, but if they have a Pinterest board or ideas, hey, bring those into the Jewelry Center. The team that Dean has assembled over there always going to point you in the right direction, and they're going to make that dream a reality. Learn more about their engagement ring selection or any of the other services that the Jewelry Center provides. Shop TJC.com or stop in today at any one of their three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. And when you go to the Jewelry Center, make sure you tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
We are efforting Craig Karmazin here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy should be joining us shortly. Remember, if you want to get in with the show, you can always reach out to us on the Carbless Talking text line, 800-990-3776. Liss is more. Or on the YouTube stream. Of course, you can follow us on ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. A lively conversation taking place in the YouTube chat this morning. Hope you guys all stay safe out there. Packers
Why
and
does
Bears.
Why does he just get so like that in the YouTube? Because it's not even just our show. Wildy and Tausch talk about that all the time. Like, the YouTube chat is where, oof.
It's wild.
You got to be careful in those streets.
Absolutely wild. This weekend, Chew, the Packers are taking on the Bears. Sometimes I have this thought, and this extends to college football for me as well, that, like, with rivalries, you can sort of throw the records out the book, you're out the door. You can kind of, like, it just, you never know what can happen. Is there any chance in your mind that the Bears win this game this weekend? Is there any chance the Packers actually lose to the Chicago Bears, the fumbling, feeble Chicago Bears?
No. No, their cars are packed. When your top receiver is talking about going on vacation 3 weeks ago, I don't see any chance that this happens, unless LaFleur decides to rest more starters than we think and it just gets ugly. But I mean, if it's starter against starter, then I don't see any way the Bears beat them.
Yeah, I think no, it seems like, to me, the only way starters are getting rest, especially after just talking with Jason, is if you're injured, yes, you're probably going to, you know, take a seat. If you're showing up on the injury report and you're dealing with something, hey, take this week, make sure you're ready to go next week against the Rams or Eagles or whoever it might be. But if you're healthy, you're going, and we're going until I say stop. And I think stop is kind of what we saw a couple of weeks ago when they were taking on the Saints. You build a big lead in the second half, and that's when Malik Willis et al. Can find their way into the ballgame. So I don't think you want to take your foot off this gas. I mean, Chewy, is there a trap of, okay, we're kind of go through the motions this week, and now we have to pick it back up next week, and now you're behind because of what you did the week before heading into the postseason?
No, I don't think there's a trap, especially with, you know, Chicago gets rid of their coach. They're in disarray. You know, like I said, players talking about vacation.
I'm not saying in terms of, Chewy, I'm not saying the trap is losing this game. I'm saying the trap is you kind of go through the motions this week and that puts you behind next week.
Well, and I think, like, guys, let's look to the college game right now. I think we all realize that all of the teams that got byes are out now of the college football playoff. Now, that is not a universal truth, but I do think that there is something to be said for it can be hard to maintain focus. That's a huge break, by the way. Like, the break that Oregon had and the break that those teams that had a bye had is enormous. And it's college football players and college kids, and keeping them on the task at hand is more difficult than professionals who are paying. But Chew, to Gabe's point, you take that second half off or you take three quarters of the game off. You know, it's a longer break between now and your next actual action. Can it be hard to refocus?
No, I don't think so. I think being rested and getting a little healthy is more important than playing in the second half. I really don't. I mean, they know what's in front of them. They know what's in front of them. And that's why I said a couple weeks ago, this game, you know, it does matter. From the standpoint, if Washington does lose, you don't want to pee down your leg and wind up losing this week in getting the 7 seed, because the path is clearly easier being the 6 seed. And they're smart enough to know that. But I have – no, I think at the end of the day, even if the starters don't play the second half, I think it's at least a 14-point victory, or at least it should be.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Craig Karmazin is coming up next. Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, you can enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It is ideally located in the heart of the Theater District in downtown Milwaukee. With deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music, you'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the
has been a minute since I talked to Craig Karmazin on a Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. What are we talking? August? Maybe? Good morning, Craig.
Morning, Jen. I felt like you were, like, driving around Goodyear blimps.
I don't drive the blimp. They don't give me
that. Wait, they let you drive the blimp? Why didn't you tell us?
Can you imagine? I shouldn't even be driving cars.
What happened to Jen? Well,
they let her drive the blimp.
Right now, as best we could tell, they're somewhere over the Pacific Ocean.
Yes, scouting dolphins. Not the Miami Dolphins, but the Dolphins, which probably would have been better for my prediction earlier this year, right? We had been scouting actual dolphins for the team. Craig, yes, I was on the blimp earlier this week. Are you a blimp guy? Would you fly in a blimp? Because Pat McAfee, I can say this now because he said it yesterday on his show. As soon as my segment aired on whatever day it was, I was going to say Saturday morning because that's my go-to autopilot, but Wednesday morning, I assume. On Wednesday morning, after my segment aired, he was like, nope, I'm never doing a blimp. And then he said that yesterday on his show. Would you get into a blimp if you were invited?
I think so, if I felt like it was credible. Like, I've done a hot air balloon before.
Wait, what do you...
And those are totally sketchy, right? Like, they don't... Like, there's no way to even steer a hot air balloon. Like, you're just, like, wherever the wind blows, you end up.
Not Chewy. You said that they're really good at steering those, aren't they?
I did in a vineyard, and they could bring it down and just barely touch the top of the leaves on the grape plants and bring it. It's actually quite pleasant.
Yeah, wait, so you're telling me, Craig, that you thought that if you got in a hot air balloon, you just disappear to Oz like the wizard?
No, it's true. What I'm telling you is true. They have to look at the wind ahead of time, and you go where the wind takes you, but they start the balloon based on what the wind conditions are so that they can hopefully bring you in to where they want to bring you in at the end. But if the wind conditions are different, they can't control where you're going.
So it's a lot like Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, where Chewy is the
yeah,
wind.
yes. Speaking of wind, Craig, is there too much coddling in Green Bay? I mean, you hold your people accountable, right?
I thought he was going to lift his cheek, just so you guys know. I literally, speaking of wind, guys. Sorry, go ahead, Craig.
I'm just happy this wasn't about the Bucks' effort last night. So I don't think there's too much coddling. I think the Packers are who I don't want to say who we thought they were, because I actually thought as a young team, Chewy, that they would beat some teams they weren't as good as, and then they would lose to some teams they're better than. Right? Wouldn't you think a young team would be more inconsistent? Whereas this Packers team has been so consistent this year, right? They've beaten everyone they're better than, and they've lost everyone who they're not as good as.
They are who we thought they were, Chew.
No, but that's not, but Gabe, right?
Yeah.
But who we thought they
were,
consistent. We didn't think they could be as consistent. Like, they didn't lose to a single team that they are worse than this year, which it's tough to look at any team in the NFL that way.
Do you watch Big ESPN? Do you?
Yes.
Did you listen to the gush about 2 weeks ago? Did you listen to the gush fest? And then the gush fest disappeared like drones over New Jersey. All of a sudden, they're gone. Okay? Where'd the gush fest go, buddy? Huh?
Yeah, where'd
they
the drones
Minnesota?
Go, Craig? Tell me where the drones were.
Yeah.
It's where you get a dash
don't
of sports
don't
and a
gush.
Dash of current events here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We just weave it all in together.
I mean, I would love to sit down and hear the exit meeting of Rashawn Gary. I'd love to hear it. You think that, because I could tell you how it would be in my day, like, dude, you didn't play good enough. What's your deal? You got to go work harder next year. Six sacks? This is ridiculous. Or are they going to sit there and go, yay, Pro Bowl, good job, do it again next year?
Well, Gabe,
I mean,
you look
let's
at
hold
all the
people
nerdy
accountable.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Wait, Gabe, you look at the nerdy stuff.
Sure.
How is Rashawn Gary graded out this year? Forget about just the sack total.
I mean, he's graded out, like, on Pro Football Focus is fine. I mean, he's not.
Number one, who's doing the grading?
Well, but again, like,
Craig,
I think.
Your grading should be based upon what you make.
Is that turkey again? Somebody on the talking text line asked if you're eating an onion. What have you been chomping on this entire segment?
Are you George?
You
eating
bozo.
An onion?
That's a raw bagel. Sorry. I forgot I was on air. Well, did you know that onions should be used? Hold on, time out. Jen, I'm glad you said that.
Oh, boy.
Because I don't use the wire brush to clean my grill anymore. They said that's bad.
Yeah,
for you.
Bad because you can get the bristles in your food.
So you know what they say to use?
I think I know where this is going.
An onion. So I got to get an onion today. But back to Craig.
Craig, the wind blowing around.
These exit meetings should be intense. They should be like, grading should be based upon how much you make.
But I thought Chewy, last year that
the exit meeting
for Jair was intense. I thought you think that Matt LaFleur kind of laid down an ultimatum for him. Is that not intense?
Because it got to a point where it had to be intense, Jen. There's no other way to go, right?
Hey, Jair Alexander was named a Pro Bowl alternate, Chewy. So Jair Alexander must have had a good year
because he was named a Pro Bowl alternate.
I don't think there's a point to having the exit interviews being intense, right? Isn't the point that all season long you're getting out of people and you have expectations every week? What's the point of after the season telling people what's expected of them? I mean, they should know every week. And obviously, if there's expectations for the off season, you set those up. But, I mean, no one should be learning something new. It shouldn't be like, oh, Rashawn Gary, we're not happy with your sack totals after the season. And he should know that every week.
But they don't. They don't.
I think he does, though,
too. If you're a player making minimum and you're grading out in the C-plus level, that's fine. When you're a top-paid defensive end in this league and you're grading out at the C-plus level, you should get your ass ripped. You should get your ass ripped. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't live in this soft world that we live in where everyone gets a participation medal.
But it feels
you want
like
to win a Super Bowl, Craig? You got to be good. You got to be great.
Right, but however they motivate Rashawn Gary is how they motivate him. Like, just because you're not hearing him getting ripped in the media doesn't mean they're not coaching him properly. I mean, that's outrageous to think that you know how they're coaching Rashawn Gary.
Well, and for whatever it's worth, gang, he did receive in his contract, he had a bonus. He had an incentivized, there it is, $6.8 million to $7.05 million if he got into the Pro Bowl. Chewy, it's interesting that this Pro Bowl thing has really ticked you off because it's not like the Packers gave him the Pro Bowl distinction. It's not like Gary gave himself the Pro Bowl distinction.
Wait,
this is an external validation that might have zero impact on how he is viewed within the building.
Wait, Chewy, do you think he should just turn down the Pro Bowl invitation the way the teams turn down bowl invitations?
No, but I can see. All right, let me ask you this. Do you think they're going to do one damn thing to the defensive line next year?
I think they're going to draft somebody to put in there. Yes, I think they're going to look. They're going to have money to spend. They've got $62 million in cap space. I think they're going to look for ways to potentially improve the defensive line. I mean, are they stuck with Rashawn? Yes. Are they stuck with Kenny Clark? Yes. But that still leaves two other spots where you can find guys to rotate in.
I mean, Chewy, don't we need to wait and see what happens in the next 3 weeks? Like, didn't we, our perception of the 2023 season change greatly based on what happened in Dallas and San Francisco? I mean, isn't this still an unwritten story at this point?
Okay, Natasha Bedingfield, to be honest, the expectations were different last year than they are this year. I would say that if they win one game in the postseason and then get sent home, I will feel worse still than I did last year.
Right,
you're supposed
will be
to take
equally
steps.
Achieving to where they should be. Coming into this year, this wasn't one of the two best teams in the NFC. So if this team back-to-back season wins a playoff game, if this team back-to-back years wins a playoff game, then they will have done an incredible job with the youngest team in the league, and they will have positioned themselves incredibly well going into the 2025 season.
But hold on.
Just because they were a season ahead based on last year, let's not go jump all over them when, I mean, this was not, in my opinion, an NFC championship team.
Wait, but didn't we all think that it was a top five team? Didn't we all think, trying to not revisionist history here, but didn't we all think the Packers were a top five team in the NFC coming in? No one saw the Vikings coming.
We thought they were better than the Vikings.
I mean, they're
still a top
five team.
We thought they were better than the Vikings, and we thought they were worse than the 49ers. I think that's the only thing that's different, right?
Yeah.
We thought they were better than the Vikings, and we thought they were worse than the 49ers. And so they're kind of where we thought they would be.
Yeah, I mean, just because they have the seven seed doesn't mean, because whoever loses Sunday night between the Lions and the Vikings.
Still better.
I mean, but they're not the fifth best team, right? Like, the Packers are a top five team in the NFC. They have the seven seed, sure, but they're better than Tampa
Bay. Bottom
two they're better than
winners in
they're
the
better
divisions.
Than the Rams. So I think they're a top
and
five.
I still
NFC
think
team.
They're better than Washington. I mean, I don't know that I'd pick them to win right now, but over the course of the season, I think they've been better than Washington. But I think that would be the interesting matchup right
well,
now.
Well, so this
in terms
is interesting.
Pretty equal.
So Craig, let me nail you on this then. Will this season be considered a success if they win one playoff game?
I mean, to me, it is. With Jordan Love as a second-year starter, I think just our expectations got so warped by how much they overachieved last year. I mean, this should not have been a playoff team last year, and this should not have been a team that went on the road and beat a top-seeded team last year. They're just our expectations were warped because they were ahead of schedule.
But they also added Josh Jacobs, who is one of the best backs in the league. They added Xavier McKinney on the defensive side, who has been one of the best safeties in the league. And whether you believe Pro Bowl invitations or Pro Bowl means anything or not, they're both obviously honored with that. Like, the team, I think, got better.
Yeah, and there are some external factors that you couldn't factor in. Like, this is a better team.
I agree.
If they win on Sunday, they
had a tougher schedule this year. They had a tougher schedule this year. And they played to their schedule this year, which is what you could have hoped. We didn't know how good the Vikings were. And so they lost to the Vikings because the Vikings were better than we thought they were. But they beat all the teams that they were better than.
Well, do you save recordings of this show?
We do save recordings of the show.
I distinctly remember everyone saying anything less than the NFC Championship game is not good.
Can we please, anybody who is not watching on the YouTube stream, Chewy delivered that entire line staring at the ceiling. He's so exasperated with us at this point.
Well, no, because he's choking on his bagel. Put something on it, man.
Chewy, I'm the person who said last year, Chewy, the Bears and the Packers last year were both 7-8 in games they didn't play against each other. And then everyone in Chicago came in this year and was like, 10 wins or bust. There's no way this team can't win the Bears can't be a 10-win team. And everyone in Wisconsin said, oh, this team's an NFC Championship team. That's what fans do. It wasn't rational for Bears fans to think of their team that way. And it wasn't rational for Packers fans to think of their team in this way.
I'm not saying the people. I'm saying us.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, you're a liar.
Go back and play it. Go back and play it.
I mean, no offense, big guy, but we're relying on your memory here?
I think I got the best memory of anyone on the show.
That tracks. Last thing for you, Craig, before we let you go. We're way over time here this morning. Mike McCarthy's name is being thrown out there amongst the Bears candidates. Now, it may just be Mike McCarthy trying to put a safety net out there if he gets fired by the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know all of the minutiae. I don't know all of the details. But as a Packers fan, should Packers fans want Mike McCarthy to be the head coach of the Bears when you have come to depend on, rely on their buffoonery for the last decade plus?
I think Mike McCarthy would bring them a certain level of credibility and a certain level of quarterback play that we haven't seen from the Chicago Bears in our lifetime. But at the same time, I don't think Packers fans should be scared of Mike McCarthy. So I don't think you'll want him there, but like, I don't think it's Jim Harbaugh going there or someone that you'd be scared of, sitting there in Chicago.
All right. Craig, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great weekend. Hope to talk to you again very soon.
Thanks, y'all.
I really like when Craig comes on because him and Chewy just kind of like...
Well, yeah. I mean, they used to do it for years on Sundays, and Chewy kind of misses his sparring partner, so he wants to go after him.
He said NFC Championship. Anything less than that is a disappointment. He's a waffler. What's the animal with the short memory? Elephant?
Goldfish. No. Yes?
Yeah.
Goldfish.
Come on, people.
Ted Lasso.
I thought it was an elephant.
No, elephants never forget, you dip bleep.
I was close.
I love it when you call him a dip bleep. Might be my favorite insult on the show. We got to take a break. We roll on right after this.